TV Campfire Podcast.
I was like, yep, okay, so you win for the week.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It's one of the best things on television.
Oh! All right, we got you a hold of the
level. No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
That was the best scene ever. Like, that blew me away.
It was absolutely amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 619, and I'm Libya, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Hi, this is Allison, and I write reviews for Six Degrees of Geek.
This is Tom, and I chair visual media arts at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida, and also host the Screen Tom podcast on Apple and Spotify.
This is Malik. I'm artistic director of Griot Theater.
Hey, this is Peter. I write for We Live Entertainment.
Hi, this is Yusan, costume designer and part-time reindeer from Los Angeles, California.
All right. This week is our end-of-year podcast. We're going to go over the best, worst in television shows of the year. But first, we're going to let Tom tell us the news that we have at the end of this lovely year.
Okay, ABC has announced the Abbott Elementary Always Sunny in Philadelphia crossover is set for January 8th.
Wow. And
if the promos are any indication, it's going to be a lot of fun. Amazon has announced that Mr. and Mrs. Smith Season 2 has cast Anora star Mark Edelstein. I probably butchered his name. And they also announced that Cross hit 40 million viewers in the first 20 days. And they have signed Halsey, whose real name is Ashley Frangipane, to create, write, and executive produce Bloodlust, but she's not going to star. Ty West is going to direct an EP with Mark Friedman from Severance on board as showrunner. Apple TV Plus, Anya Taylor-Joy is going to lead the series adaptation of Marissa Stapley's Lucky. Reese Witherspoon will produce. Disney Plus has announced that they're doing a Malcolm in the Middle revival that nobody asked for, so that's interesting. It'll be missed opportunity if Hal didn't have a nightmare about being a drug dealer for 6+ years. FX has announced that Rebecca Hall will join Evan Peters and Ryan Murphy's The Beauty. Hallmark has announced The Way Home Season 3 will not be moving to Hallmark Plus, but will air on Hallmark because of fan backlash.
Wow. Like fans,
when you get the Hallmark fans up in arms, you've missed the mark. HBO has announced Linda Cardellini will join Jason Bateman and David Harbour in the limited series DTF St. Louis. And the Harry Potter series is eyeing Papa Esidu for Severus Snape. He was in I Will Destroy You. Stand by for backlash of casting a black man to play Snape. Yeah. And they plan to start filming next summer after auditioning 32,000 children for the lead roles. Wow.
Wow.
Jason Clarke will join Patricia Arquette in the Murdaugh Murders series at Hulu. At NBC, Suits LA has cast Maggie Grace, Matt Letcher, Sophia Pernis, and Carson A. Egan in guest roles. And the One Chicago crossover, the first in 5 years, is set for January 25th, 25. Night Agent Season 3 on Netflix has added David Lyons from ER, Jennifer Morrison from Once Upon a Time, and Stephen Moyer from True Blood, among 6 actors to the cast.
Paramount, did you say Season 3?
Say what? Season 3 of Night Agent, yes.
Season 2 hasn't even aired yet, has it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did. Okay, go ahead.
To no one's surprise, there will be a Yellowstone Beth and Rip spinoff. The only question is...
Does that make like 4 spinoffs?
I've lost count.
There's 1988 and 1923 and 18 something. There's a bunch of years.
Yeah. The only question is, will it be on Paramount Plus or the Paramount Network? I would give the edge to Paramount Network because that means they don't have to share the reruns with Peacock. Whereas if it's on Paramount Plus, they don't have to share the reruns with Peacock. Whereas if it continued on Paramount Network, they would. Peacock has announced, speaking of which, Jackal Season 2 has been picked up, and Bel Air has been picked up for its 4th and final. Right. They also announced SNL 50, a Beyond Saturday Night 4-part docuseries in advance of the SNL 50 special. Showtime picked up The Agency for Season 2, And the Guy Ritchie crime series has cast Patty Considine, Joanne Froggatt, Laura Pulver, and Anson Boone. And finally, Starz has picked up Sweet Pea with Ellen Purnell for season two. She's like in three series. That, Yellow Jackets, and Fallout.
Oh, wow. Look at that. All right. Let's start off with our review of 2024. And the first category we are going to do is Best Returning Show, which means that the show has to have been in second season, or in the case of one of my picks, it's like a spinoff, which I feel like doesn't really count as a new show because it's a thing. Anyway, so I'm putting it in Best Returning for me because basically I'm going off of what the Emmy said. The Emmy said you are not a new show. So that's how I'm doing mine. But first, after I did that big explanation, we're going to start with Allison. Give us your best show of 2024, and you may have a, what do you call it? An honorable mention.
Runner-up, an honorable mention.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I was going back and forth and back and forth with my first and second choices. And it really came down to, because I think they're both amazing, but I think that the one that I ultimately went with for number one got that way because I think it improved radically in its second season.
Oh, whereas, no! I know what you're going to pick! It's on my list. Go ahead!
Whereas the my other choice, even though it was still head and shoulders above most things, actually was not as good in its second season as the first. So my first choice is actually going to be Interview with the Vampire. I'm sorry.
I knew it. Thunder. As soon as you were explaining it, I was like, oh, I know what you're going to pick. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, I think, you know, it's like it should get most improved as well. Because the first season, while it was good, it had pacing issues, it had Claudia issues. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that the actress who they got was really exactly right for the role. Just different things didn't really seem to quite click, even though it was still a terrific show. In its second season, it just became must-see TV. It was brilliant. It was gorgeous. Everything that they did, the addition of the new characters, the way they interwove facets from other later books and book series, so that they could come up with a smoother storyline and more explanatory storyline, I thought was brilliantly done. The additions to the cast, including their new Claudia, who was just such a big change and such a big improvement over the first one. I mean, she was just absolutely brilliant. Delaney Hales is just a fantastic actress. I think the worst thing about casting her is that it made me feel so bad knowing that she was going to die by the end of the season. Because I want to see more of her. I want more of that Claudia. She was absolutely wonderful. But the acting in the show was so great. The look of everything is magnificent. It was just 100% a brilliant, brilliant season and elevated the show. Sure.
Wait, so I haven't seen Interview with the Vampire, but I like the movie. But
oh, it's
my
nothing
thing
like
was, how do you, if Claudia's 12, how's this going to work? But you're
they
saying Lori Killer.
They
changed her age. They age her up. She's supposed to be about 14 years old. When she's turned, she's played by an actress who's older and looks 14. But
this is a discussion, a little discussion for later. Yeah,
they didn't need to change the age if you're going to kill her in a season.
She didn't. She had to last two seasons. They didn't know they were going to lose the actress.
They replaced the actress, right?
Yes. Yeah. And let's.
But not because she was aging out. It was because she got a movie.
Oh. Right. Okay.
Right.
So they replaced her. And I think that that was actually the best thing for the series, because the replacement was just, I mean, from the moment she started, for I think from her very first scene, I was like, oh my God, yes, that's Claudia. Mm-hmm. That's who we've been waiting for. And it, everything about her and the way she performed was just something beautiful to watch. And it made you love for the character. If there was one thing about this particular season that maybe wasn't as good, is that frustratingly we got less Lestat. Of course, they're gonna make up for that in a big way next season. Yeah. But you know, that's the story, and they did integrate him into the show in a way that the books didn't, by having him become a kind of an imaginary ghost for Louis to play off of back and forth. So I thought that was great as well, because you start to miss him and go, where is he? And they were able to bring him back in, so you weren't just pining for Lestat the entire time. I just think that everything that they did with this series made me so excited to see more of it. And it really elevated it to the level of being like one of the best things on TV.
What was your backup? What was your honorable mention?
My backup was Arcane.
Oh, nice.
It's a brilliant show. It's one of the most visually gorgeous series I have ever seen in my life.
But I was just going to say,
second season was not up to it.
Yeah. So, Yusin, are you back? You kind of dropped out.
I am back.
All right. And you're up. Thank you.
I'm going to go with Trinking.
Solid choice.
It was a show that I think if it didn't get better in the second episode, a second season, which I think it did, it also sort of changed the feel of the show and the focus of the show. It became a bit more of a dramedy versus a pure comedy, which I loved. I thought across the board, the acting was just fantastic. You know, Harrison Ford had some amazing episodes, especially the last episode that we saw, I think was 10. But Jessica Williams, I mean, first of all, Harrison Ford as a comedian is a revelation. I mean, yes, I know that he was in a few comedies, you know, but I just didn't know that he could be that funny. His comic timing, his energy, you know, he plays a curmudgeon, which I don't think is that much of a surprise for me. So it's not like, oh, I've never imagined him in this role. And he's, you know, that part isn't the revelation. The fact that he's so good and comedic in that is my revelation. Jessica Williams is, you know, she's not the comic relief, but she is so good. She, you know, her stuff until the episodes with her mother, you know, have been mostly heavily comedy. Her relationship with, gosh, I don't know the name of the neighbor. I always forget.
Can't think of her neighbor's name either. Yeah. Just the nosy neighbor. We know who you're talking
nosy
about.
Nosy neighbor.
Liz.
Thank you. Liz.
I didn't even have to look that up.
That is a great oil and water friendship. You know, you don't expect it. The way they play off of each other is lovely and fantastic. There's, you know, a poignancy in their relationship, not just funny. Liz's husband is a revelation. In second season, they really develop his character. They even give him his own episodes. You know, he was the comic relief. In season one, he just kind of would walk in as a one-liner and then walk off, you know, the scene, or he would, you know, whatever. But he, you know, they developed his character, you know, and it's Jason Segel's show. And I know Allison refuses to watch it because of him, but I mean, he's a bit Jason Segel-y, you know, that's his.
He's a bit Jason Segel-y?
Yeah, he's a bit, you know. He's,
as one is wont to do when one is Jason Segel.
I don't even know what that even means, but okay.
Well, you know, he's jimmying when he jimmies, you know, a situation.
Right. Yes, so, when he's jimmying a situation. Okay.
Yeah, cool. When he's jimmying a situation, you know, so he's fine, he's good, but, you know, it's funny that, you know, it's his show and he's the sort of the main character. And, you know, for me, I think I love everybody else more. You know, honorable mention to the daughter. You know, I have an issue with child actor. She's not really a child actor. She plays a teenager. She's, you know, so she's not a child actor really. But, you know, as the youngest cast member, I think she does a fantastic job. So it is solid across the board. I'll move on to just the writing, you know, the pacing. It does a beautiful job walking that tightrope between comedy and drama, pathos, and, you know, hilarity. So for me, you know, it's a show that makes me cry, which I don't normally do when I watch a show. It makes me laugh out loud. So for me, the show is everything. There's no weak link in terms of anything. The writing is great. The pacing is great. The acting is great. All of it. The story is great. I will finish by saying they focus very much now on the death of the mom. So they even throw in a, you know, flashback, which was lovely. So we get to see the mom. We've heard so much about her. So I thought that was an excellent choice. And for me, the show just gives me everything I want from a show. So I love that show so much. As far as if you want to go with, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, my honorable mention is The Diplomat.
Get out of my head, you son.
I'm sorry.
So she said, "Get out of my head." So that's that's your honorable mention. So then we're gonna let him talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, I won't talk about it except by saying that.
By talking about it.
Yeah. No. Just three lines.
Let the mic.
Three lines. It got better in the second season, which we know is hard and rare to do. And for me, the acting between the husband and wife.
So you said you're actually talking about it.
No, that's it. That's all I was going to say.
All right. Next. You guys have to worry because I'm next and I didn't pick any of the shows. Well, I sort of picked Allison's, but that's my honorable mention. And I didn't actually change the order. It was already my honorable mention. So I'm picking something that we didn't even discuss in the podcast because I know, daring, right? It was because none of you guys wanted to watch it with me, and I had to, like...
I did!
You got to tell us what it
you
is.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, I didn't even get to say what it is. Okay, I will say it is The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, which is technically... We didn't talk about it in the podcast, is basically my thing. Because a lot of... No, we did not. I wanted to a lot. And because for the people who don't know, I am a insane Rick and Michonne shipper. And so for me, it was like the highlight of The Walking Dead, the best it's ever been. What I really liked about the show was the tight writing. And I mean, the two best actors on the show are basically highlighted in this 6-episode run. And it got to the point. It had them reunite in the first episode, which blew my mind. It was totally unexpected. Like, normally shows like this, you keep because you know that the audience wants that reunion, so they keep you going for as long as possible before they give it to you. And I was so surprised that they gave it to us on the first episode. And they basically, every single thing that I wanted from the show, they gave me. Like if I had had a wish list written out, they hit every single point on my wish list. I will rewatch that show more times than I'm comfortable talking about on this podcast. But I basically picked the show because how much it meant to me. And I can't really tell somebody to go see it because it's predicated on several seasons of watching The Walking Dead to even get your basis of understanding for this show. So that's why I didn't feel like it would be best new show, because it's not really new. Like, it's based on existing property that it's there's no previously on, like previously on 10 seasons of The Walking Dead that you need to know to watch this, you know? So I felt like it felt in this category. And also I went off of when they submitted to the Emmys said, you are not a new show. You're not.
Nor are you a miniseries.
Nor are you a miniseries. And so they wouldn't let them submit in that category. They had to submit for, like, basically a best drama returning series, just like The Walking Dead. So I was kind of going with that. And I cannot say in more words, and I love that they let Danai, who is the star of the show, write an episode, and it was by far my
award-winning playwright.
And it was by far my favorite episode because I could hear the voice of Michonne in a way that I hadn't really heard before because she knows that character that well. And so I just thought it was brilliant. I really, really loved the show. And I felt like I needed to pick a show that meant the most to me versus necessarily what everybody else was going to say, because, you know, but for my honorable mention was Interview with the Vampire for season two. So I don't have to talk about it. So that's great. But if you haven't watched The Ones Who Lived yet and you watched The Walking Dead at all, I would very highly recommend it. All right. Next up is Malik. What is your show?
So my show for Best Returning is The Diplomat, which I can't be a bigger fan of this show. And it starts with Deborah Kahn, the writing and structure and story. It is a masterclass in how to tell a story. Specifically, it's a masterclass on how to tell a story with a camera, because the dialogue is so rich, but also visually how they tell the story helps you understand where we are. I like the efficiency with which they tell the story. So they give you just enough words to understand what's happening, but not too much so that you can fill in the blanks, which is beautiful that they can do that in a way that doesn't get you confused. There are so many marquee moments in the show that I'll remember. Various, you know, they have big things like explosions when you don't expect them. I guess the explosion was from the last season. But things like the aftermath of the explosion I talked about on the podcast, where you could see through Carrie Russell's costume design, her borrowing clothes, you understand the chaos that happened rather than someone just saying, hey, things are chaotic. Right. You see, I mentioned before when they use a whiteboard to discuss sensitive topics because they think they might be overheard, or going on that same line when the vice president brings in a map and writes on charcoal to explain why she's taking various actions. So I just really love, or, you know, things like the prime minister choking out an old woman. I mean, you have so many marquee moments.
A little less subtle than the other moments, but yeah.
But I have to say, it was surprising. Like, you didn't see that coming. Yeah.
So there are just so many marquee moments in this show. And that's just with the writing. And then when you get to the acting, that just seals the deal for me. So many, not just good actors, but actors who also tell you the story by how they relate to the people and environment around them. Big shout out to David Gassi, who plays the foreign secretary, Ali An, who's the deputy station, whatever. Rory Kinnear as the prime minister. He's such a great job as a guy that you don't like. And
really
I love that he
specializes in that, really, though.
I really
kind of his
really
forte.
Loved, yeah, I really loved his work in this show. And a special shout out to Nana Mensa, who played the chief of staff. And you only see her on video calls, but every time she was on screen, I thought she just brought all kind of beautiful stuff to it. So that's my pick for best returning show. I like it so much that I don't have an honorable mention.
Wow.
That's
all.
Wow.
I have.
Wow. Okay, then. Next is Peter. What is your best returning show of 2024?
You know, I feel like, okay, so I'm going to, in a weird way, it's funny, my best show, I wasn't sure if it was my best show, but then Yusin went with it, and I was like, I was like, well, technically it's not finished yet, but I guess I'll go with Shrinking also, but technically it's not done. Cause I was originally going to say, I guess it'll become my honorable mention. Cause the honorable mention is finished and I think it's terrific, but I guess I'll wait. I would agree with everything Houston was saying about Shrinking. The main thing I guess I would add is that I think that it was a really bold move of the show in its second season to bring back the character that killed, you know, the drunk driver, the person who killed his wife. And they dealt with it in a pretty good way, because I'm like, we get his little backstory just for a second. It's not like he's not presented as this crazy alcoholic. It looks like, yeah, he overserved himself, shouldn't have driven home. This terrible thing happens. It ruins his life. And we, from the first season, is seeing how much it has ruined the life of Jimmy and his like family. And I think they handled it pretty well. Like, of course, the daughter's kind of curious about who this person is. And of course, there's a sense of healing. But I also see Jimmy's point of view of being like, I forgive you, but I can't have you in my life. Like, I thought it's the whole thing. Again, I have not seen the last episode. So this is a, Yusin went with it. So I was like, all right, she picked it. Technically, we have no idea if the last episode's terrible, but I mean, I thought it was really good. And I agree. I think that like most really good comedies, when you have the second season, you do a good job of like doing more with smaller supporting characters. And I would agree. Liz's husband gets a lot
Derek,
more. And that guy's Derek's. Got the best, that guy's Derek. Got the best hair in the business.
Yes.
What's his name?
Derek.
Darren, he's got, oh, that's right, because there's two of them.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And Jessica Williams managed to be my big crush, one of my big crushes on television. I just think she's just so like charismatic and fun and engaging. I'm always just like, oh my God, she's like perfect girlfriend material. In case she's watching this. No, I'm kidding.
This is your play, in case she's
watching. That's my play, okay. Yeah. And as far as, I mean, I will say the show does a good job of like, this is a show where you deal with infidelity, which is not good. Like, that's a bad thing. And yet it's sort of dwarfed when you think about, well, what are the consequences of a daughter and a friend talking to the drunk driver kind of behind Jimmy's back? Like, is that even like, what is that? You know, like what kind of level of betrayal is that and everything? And it's all handled really well. Like, I just, anyways, yeah, so that's my, I think that's my favorite returning show. So my runner-up, is that what it is?
Honorable mention.
Because it is finished. I loved Hacks. I thought the new season of Hacks was terrific. Every season of Hacks has been great. Every season of Hacks, I'm always like, okay, this is the end. Except this one ends where you finally have wait, so it's Deborah Vance. Who's the Gen Xer, the Gen Zer? So Deborah Vance is the big one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Right, Deborah, right.
And who's the...
Her assistant?
We know who you're talking about.
Her basically doing the heel turn at the end where you're like, oh, it's like she's learned everything and now it's like she is...
Ava.
I thought that was a really terrific end, and I really can't wait to see the show now. Almost okay. Like we because the show, you know, the Hacks begins yeah. with that.
This
so.
Was your honorable
oh, I'm so sorry.
Mention.
Yeah. Anyways. Honorable yes. mention. Sorry about that. Now, so Hacks is my honorable mention. Yeah.
All right. Now, Tom, I'm sure I saw you hastily writing. So
I wasn't writing. I was doing math to make sure. I'm going to bring in a dark horse that at least one of us is not a fan of. But because both shows, my original first choice and my runner-up have been discussed ad nauseum, Shrinking and The Diplomat, I'm going to go with the sentimental dark horse, and I would have thrown on a t-shirt to for this. Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
Overwhelming odds, you know, it was a 7-year plan because of the weirdness at Warner Brothers Discovery and at CW, which was purchased by Nexstar. They had to end it early, but in 10 episodes they managed to pull off what a lot of Superman shows haven't. you know, and everything doesn't work. The supporting cast, for the most part, well, at least one half of the supporting cast, Lana Lang and her family unit. And, yeah, nobody cares about them. But just in terms of, this is the third or fourth time a DC film or TV show has adapted the Death of Superman story. And yes, the battle sequence, you know, went on too long. It was all of episode 401, but it culminated with Doomsday bringing Clark's corpse to Smallville without the heart. And because it's a TV show on at 8 o'clock, they managed to show it. So if you knew what was going on, you could tell. But, and they actually left him dead for an entire episode. And the way they resurrected them made sense because it cost something. They killed off Lois's dad. But just in terms of using flashbacks to show the history of their relationship, again, they're having to compress basically, you know, multiple seasons into one arc. But the highlights were Sam Lane provides the donor heart. But that comes with a cost because Ghost Mom tells him you're going to die earlier than you would for real, because this is a human heart in a Kryptonian body. And then this version of Lex by Michael Cudlitz wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but it was interesting that his beef is mostly against Lois, not Clark. And of course, because people in Smallville aren't stupid, people start putting two and two together. So he, rather than gaslight everybody to cover his tracks, he ends up revealing his identity to the world. And then the way they dispatch with Doomsday twice, the first time Lois basically bargains with him, and then the second time when Lex steals John Henry Iron's armor, he does the final torturing of Doomsday to put him in the comic book design, and still basically Clark manages to bargain with him, and Doomsday sacrifices himself because he realizes this is not who he is ultimately. And the finale, the series finale, the tag of the series, reminiscent of Sleeping in Light from Babylon 5, as well as Somewhere in Time, but it gives you a flash forward. It was very hopeful, and the other super twin got his powers, the less annoying one, finally got his powers. But it was just a good way to end the series and give fans what they deserved and wanted, even though this was the last Arrowverse show on the CW, and the Arrowverse outlasted the DCEU by 2 years. So I'm a sucker for sentimentality in a Superman show, and we wait the big screen reboot with David Corin Sweat stepping into the tights.
So what's your honorable mention, Tom, then?
It would be Diplomat and
And
Shrinking.
Okay, Peter, what was your question?
So I watched a little of Superman and Lois, and everything you're saying sounds really good, but did they get rid of the two sons? Because they were terrible. I don't care about the sons.
They recast
Can I fast
one
forward
of them.
The sons?
They recast one, and the actors may not be as, you know, teen idol ready, but he actually looked like the rest of the family.
Okay.
And I think ultimately,
well, Tom, I just want to offer you apologies and condolences that we took your first two choices so that you were left to justify this as being the best returning show.
The math I did, by the way, I added up all the scores for the 10 episodes of season 4. It's got an 8.4 from users on IMDb.
Wow.
Okay. So that's the math. But anyway, let's move on. We're not here to judge each other's choices.
Yes. My turn again.
Oh, that's true. It is your turn again. We're going to start off with the worst shows of 2024. And here is the caveat. You do not have to have an honorable mention if you don't want to for this one, because it's kind of a hard category, because stipulation is...
No, it wasn't a hard category for me.
Okay, so let me just say...
Not at all.
I'm trying to give the rules, which is we had to have watched at least 50% of the show, or at least this season of the show. Of the show, to say it's the worst of 2024. So with that caveat, and like I said, because I don't think I have whatever, but go ahead, Tom, what did you think? What is your, what's on your, what is the worst show for you?
For me, the worst show, and it's a new show, is Papa's House.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
It is the Damon Wayans and Damon Wayans Jr. alleged comedy on CBS.
Alleged.
I watched, so far there have been 7 episodes. I sat through 1.5 so I could make it to 4, which is half, you know, over the hump of half of what they had.
Wait, available. But they haven't finished the first season yet, right?
It's, no.
I'm just, it's supposed to be half of the first season. Not just half of what's aired. That's,
I've asked, no, half of the first season. Well, sorry, you said half of what's available. I watched half.
I didn't say what's available. I said of the season. But whatever. If you really want to rag on a show that hasn't even finished airing yet, well, sure.
You didn't say it had to be finished completely.
I that was what I insinuated, but I meant like of the season. I meant the season was done because it's of 2024.
Is there more on the topic?
Yes. Do you have more that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I've been a fan of Damon Wayans since In Living Color.
Okay.
I've been a fan of Damon Wayans Jr. since Happy Endings.
Oh, I love that show.
I'm a fan of Damon Wayans Jr. on Shrinking. How you can put this funny father and this funny son into a sitcom and be completely unfunny? I chortled once out of 4 episodes. I didn't laugh. I chortled once because somebody who should know better tried to do the splits and said, I can't get up. I'm like, that's kind of funny. But I'm just like, it's such a late. And the problem is kind of CBS, the type of comedies they think are funny, because a lot of them are just like, going back to the 60s, James Aubrey was the programming executive who believed in lowest common denominator television. And I think that's where we're back again, where it's just not funny stuff. It's generic. Oh, my ex-wife, my mother-in-law. It's like, I feel sorry for these actors trapped in a bad sitcom. And part of it's at least Damon Wayans Sr.'s fault because he's an executive producer on the show. But yeah, it's just, and the wafer thin press, dad is divorced and hosts a radio show. In comes a new radio show co-host who's younger and a woman. Hilarity. And son is kind of a slacker and living at home. It's like, that's not funny. I just wish they had created a better vehicle for these guys.
And your honorable mention?
You know, the closest thing I can say is What We Do in the Shadows 6.
Oh, yeah. You stole my thunder.
I have not been enjoying season 6.
I will talk about it.
All right. Peter's up next for worst show.
So it's interesting. Before I say the name of this show, I got in discussion with somebody about when we're talking about inclusivity, diversity, and like, what kind of representation characters have and stuff. There's, you know, sometimes people wonder if when we are having a character that's, you know, gay, you know, do they always have to be a good person, or can they be flawed, but ultimately still someone we root for in something? Can they ever just be a villain? And I think about this when I think that I watched more than half of FX's English Teacher. Because I don't know if it's because the character who is openly gay and Latino is just such an asshole that like it is not fun for me, or is it the casting? Because the right actor can make a douchebag character engaging. And I looked it up, and so the show, English Teacher is, so the star of the show is Brian Jordan Alvarez, and lo and behold, he is the creator of the show. Like, so a part of me is like, maybe if he didn't cast himself, maybe if like somebody else was in this role, it would work. Because I'm all for, yeah, man, I don't need, you know, if you have people of color, or if, you know, there are gender issues or whatever, of course I want them to be flawed and they can be villains, and of course they can do all those things. But man, like, everybody else in the cast of English Teacher I think is pretty enjoyable. I think the history teacher. I think the coach guy is like pretty funny, but the main guy is so narcissistic. And like, I guess that's supposed to be the point where it's like, it's sort of like the opposite of Abbott Elementary, right? Where it's like in Abbott Elementary, the only person that's really a narcissist is kind of the principal. Like everybody else that's the teachers, they all kind of care about being teachers. And this guy's like sort of not that. And I get the idea of that where it's like, oh, that could be, you could mine a lot of humor there. But I don't know, man. I find him insufferable. Like I just.
I'm with you on that. I watched four episodes. It's not just you. I watched four episodes and then I had to
stop. Six. Because, like,
and I hated that guy. I was like, God, he's the star and I hate him.
I kind of like the show.
What?
Whoa.
I kind of like the show.
But you don't see he's kind of insufferable, really? I find him so...
I think in the world of Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, that's like a valid option.
Okay. What's
your
honorable mention, Peter?
Or dishonorable mention.
There you go. Dishonorable mention. There you go.
My dishonorable mention that... Well, I mean... Wait, how many episodes did I see? Well...
You don't have to have another one.
I mean, if I was going to have one though, but I haven't really seen that much of this season, I would sort of agree with Tom. I don't really love What We Do in the Shadows these last couple seasons.
Stop
I don't
talking.
Know what it is. I love the movie. I was a huge fan of the movie.
Talking.
I love the first few seasons.
Houston is requesting
now she wants to enforce the rules, right?
Yes. Now she wants you to finish.
Oh, sorry. Anyways, yeah. So I guess What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah. So.
All right. After Peter, we have Malik, your worst show.
Don't you dare pick it.
He hasn't watched it.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with you, but you probably heard from when it's a podcast show, Rings of Power. And I come to that loving the movies. I was so disappointed. It was such a drag to watch that show. We talk about storytelling.
Wait, is this the one with Rosamund Pike, The Wheel of Time?
Yes. No, that's Wheel
no,
of
no.
Not
Ro- no, Rings of Power. That's a great show.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings one.
I think you mean Board of the Rings.
Yeah, yes. they just, and you know, we talked about the show. I don't think the problem is that we know how the story ends. I know that kind of came up in the discussion, but you'll actually see later, my favorite show is going to be the inverse of that. So I don't think the problem was we know how the story ends. I think it is all about how do you tell the story. And if you talked about a masterclass that The Diplomat was, this is a masterclass on how not to tell a story. I was bored to tears, even though I was invested in the background, the future, many of the characters. I was theoretically invested in them, but the characters that they presented on the screen, I wish I'd had some paint that was drying that I could have watched instead. So yeah.
Wow.
Power was my worst, and it wasn't real close. I will do one honorable mention just because. I'll just say the name, Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah. That made my short list.
All right.
Well, my long list.
Your long list. Next. Oh, it's me. I actually had a hard time with this because last year it was, I was very, like, as vehement as Malik was, I was very vehement about my choice last year. This year I found...
Which was
House of the Dragon was my choice from last year. So I didn't watch it at all this season. But this year, I found that I didn't have... There was nothing that I was just raging against. There's some shows that I was disappointed in, and people have mentioned them and stuff like that. And then I actually cheated and went and looked at other people's lists. And I was like, oh, yeah, that show did suck. And I did watch it all. Okay, so I picked Echo, which is a Disney show, which goes to the category of a show that Disney and Marvel did that nobody asked them to do, which is why after I saw Echo, when Agatha came, I was doubling down on my, nobody asked you for this show. But then it surprised me. It was good. This show did not surprise me at all. It made zero sense. Apparently, they shot 9 episodes, but they only gave us 6 because they felt there were 3 episodes worth of boringness that they had to take out. And I'm like, and yet you had 6 episodes that were still boring. Like, I don't know. I feel like I almost want to see the 9 just to see if it made more sense. No, just to see if it made, maybe it made more sense if there were 9 episodes. Maybe the 9 as a 9 structure, this story would have something.
Is that sadist or masochist? I can't remember which.
Masochist is what you do to yourself. Sadist is what you do to other people.
But it was just 6 episodes of nothing. And I get that they also wanted to cast a woman who was deaf and had, I think she was missing a leg, 1 leg, 2 legs. I can't remember.
If you can't remember how many legs a character is missing, that's probably significant.
I just remember she had like these little runner things that let her run around, but I don't remember if it was on both legs or one. But anyway, my point is the actress, they were trying to be true. So they hired the actress who actually was deaf and was whatever. But I don't think she was a particularly good actress. And so you're asking her now to carry, like, this was her first show. You asked her to carry the show.
Well, as lead.
As a lead, because she was in something else.
Hawkeye.
And in Hawkeye, she didn't have that much to do, and so she was fine. But here, being the lead, it's a whole different animal, and the show fell apart. So that is my very much this, and I'm not mad, like, I don't have any strong emotions about it. I wasn't like severely disappointed because I didn't ask for this show, but I watched it because it was Marvel and it was just awful. It was just a really bad example of why you should tell a better story. And then my dishonorable mention, I'm just going to say, is Dark Matter, because I got 7 or 8 there's only like 10 episodes, I think, of the show. And I got to like episode 8 and I got bored and just never went back to it. And it just didn't do anything for me. So that's it for me. Next up is Yusin, your worst.
Okay. So I didn't have, like you, a lot of shows that I could use, you know, or like, you know, if Allison had like a short list or a long list, because I just don't have the patience to watch half or more than half of a show that I feel is terrible. So I will go with, which has been mentioned already, but I will expand on it. Libya, you talked about expectation and, you know, if you had expectations for, you know, the show. So for me, the worst, or perhaps the most disappointing, is What We Do in the Shadows. It is the finale season. And so I expected them to, because of the quality of the show for most of the seasons, I thought the final season is going to be brilliant. And I thought, I couldn't wait to see the storyline of how they were going to do it, you know? And I assumed it would be an arc that would last the whole season. But it turns out that watching the show and keeping watching the show was a form of self-flagellation, because it was so difficult to sit through the worst episodes, and then the better episodes weren't that good. So, you know, the season didn't follow. I mean, there is the arc of Guillermo getting a job and working at a, you know, human company and kind of dealing with the real world. So if there's anything that is a thread that kind of goes through the season, but it was so boring. And Guillermo, mm-hmm. you know, needs to be Van Helsing. His main role was first as a familiar, and then while being a familiar, discovering that he is a vampire hunter, you know, and then you take all of that away and you put him in the real world. It's like, I don't care. And
editorializing from Tom.
A vampire, please. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, that's your job, you know? So finally, towards the end of, I mean, you know, because I don't think the season is over, right?
It's not over yet.
One more.
No, it was. Yeah.
No.
As I told you all, it was over before it started.
Yes.
Well, there's that too. But I thought that the last episode where Guillermo
finally starts to kill vampires.
No.
Well, when he goes off and they say, okay, well, we'll be like a Batman and Robin team.
Oh,
you know, I have
right.
no idea what that is.
That's not the finale.
I thought that was the finale.
No.
Finale's Tuesday.
Okay. So I don't know how there is.
They had no preview.
There is no way they're landing this plane. I don't even know that they got on the plane. They got on like a propeller plane from like the 1940s. I don't know. I don't think Captain Sully is, you know, could land this plane. I think, you know, I think the episodes were all over the place. I thought even the acting was sort of just kind of meh, you know, mm-hmm. the comic timing and the jokes, like oftentimes I watch the show and I'm thinking in other seasons, this show is brilliant. You know, in all the different ways, I won't talk about it right now, but the season was so disappointing. And I thought they focused on the wrong things. And it didn't have the through line that, you know, I think we all expected. There's just no way they're going to be able to bring this back. So for that reason, I'm going to say it's the worst. And, you know, it probably isn't the worst show on television, but look, even my antlers are getting sad about this. they're just losing their, they're like, we can't do this. The show is so terrible. So I say that's the worst show for me this season. This season, 2024. I don't have an honorable mention because, like I said, I don't have the patience to sit through terrible shows. So, but What We Do in the Shadows, I really wanted to watch it and see it, you know, go out in a blaze of glory. But that's not going to happen.
All right, Allison, you are up.
Okay. Well, I apparently have the time to sit through a lot of garbage TV. I literally had 9 shows
what?
On a list.
Wow.
Yes, that were absolute trash. And that did agree with your rules, Libya. There was one actually that would have been my number one show, but it didn't go with your rules because only 3 episodes have aired and I've seen 2 of them. But, you know, I mean, it's just 3 episodes. So
what show was that?
Okay. I can't say what it is. Maybe it'll be next season. Well, actually, no, I'm not going to watch more than it. So I guess it'll be a mystery for everybody. But it was actually a tough call because there was a lot of really, really bad TV that I suffered through. But honestly, I think that I have to go with Doctor Who.
And I
have to preface this by saying I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Doctor Who. It's like the old song goes, you know, when it's good, it's very, very good, and when it's bad, it's awful. And it was unwatchably bad its last season.
I was hoping
for, you know, an improvement, because I hated the episodes that Chibnall was in charge of. And I was really hoping that when Russell T. Davies came back, mm-hmm. we would get the original flavor Russell T. Davies instead of, you know, the end of the run Russell T. Davies. and unfortunately we got way beyond end of the run Russell T. Davies. All the things that he started to devolve into at the end when he started getting tired of the show, just came back in force. Just the The lazy writing and the over-sentimentality of everything, and the tropes came back, and the really tortured attempts at humor. This is the season, and it actually goes back to even the specials with Tenet, which were better than what came later, but still were pretty awful. I mean, their idea of humor on this show is calling gravity mavity. And not only doing it once, but repeating it because it's such a funny thing, we have to keep doing it through the series. It was childishly awful. It again, you know, keeps devolving into being a show for little kids with magic, instead of the show that, you know, used to actually promote rationality and science, even in the fantasy context. It was so tiring to watch, and I was really, really looking forward to seeing the new Doctor. Shuddy Gatwa is, I understand, I have not seen him in Sex Education, but I know people who have, who said he was absolutely brilliant. So I had high hopes for him, and instead his Doctor kind of just has, and I mean, from the get-go, it wasn't like Smith, who started out fantastic and then turned into a series of weird tics. He just, from the get-go, his Doctor was either like the male version of a manic pixie dream girl, or just endlessly cowering in a corner and crying. Oh my God, he'd cry over everything. Somebody disappointed him, something didn't turn out so well, something was sad, something was glad, something was, and he saw the script for next week, he'd cry, you know. I mean, it was endless. I mean, that was his only go-to reaction, other than just being crazy. And it got to me. It seemed like even when they had really great guest stars, they didn't know how to use them. The stories were terrible, and even when they had like an interesting concept, they'd waste it, and just it, the writing would just be so bad by the end. The idea of a story arc running through it, which they used to do so well, was just a mess. By the time you got to the end, you were just staring at the screen and going, what did I just watch? How did that make any sense at all? But what about this? But what about that? It didn't hang together. So I thought it was just dreadful. Periodically I just stop watching the show because it gets that bad, and I have to hope that maybe I can come back. And usually when I do, I'm happy with what's there. I am not happy with what's there right now. I'm probably not going to watch it for a while. It was a hugely disappointing series for me.
So what was your
dishonorable mention?
Yeah. one of many. Pick one. I would say probably, God, this is such a tough call, but I'm going to go with The Acolyte.
That was
really bottom of the barrel Star Wars stuff. Yeah.
All right. Next category we're going for is Best New Show, which is a show that has premiered in 2024, and this is season one, and we're starting with Malik. What was your best new show of the year?
So this one was the most difficult for me, because I actually have four shows that could be my favorite new show. So I had, kind of like people talked about before, I just kind of had to get personal. And for me personally, the show that just brought me the greatest personal pleasure was Chaos. Netflix. What?
I may not have seen that show. I don't
know. Yeah, Jeff.
We talked about it on there.
Oh, you liked it. Jeff Goldblum.
With the K. I was pronouncing
the same. Chaos. You're saying Chaos. Okay.
Never mind. Go.
Chaos. Okay.
So for anyone else who has confusion out there, Chaos was a story that was steeped in Greek mythology that was set in a more modern world, starring Jeff Goldblum and many others. And I just thoroughly enjoyed. It goes back to the point I'd raised earlier. We're telling a very familiar story, that at least for people who are familiar with Greek mythology, you know how it ends. And yet that doesn't take away from the pleasure and enjoyment of the journey. So I really love the reimagining of the classic tale with new twists, modern takes. The acting, Jeff Goldblum, was Jeff Goldbluming all over the role. and I thought it was inspired to choose a character like him to play Zeus, to play someone so powerful who was also so vulnerable, in some ways so childish, but also very dangerous at the same time. So I was just enthralled by that performance, among many others. So I thoroughly enjoyed that show. Again, personally, because I am so invested in Greek and Roman and Egyptian mythology, it really spoke to me. Apparently, we know that it did not get renewed. So this is my last shout out of support for that show. Honorable mentions. I have so many. I have three, but I guess I'm going to miss one because that's our rule here. So it's even a difficult thing to choose my one honorable mention, but I will go with Shogun.
Why are you gasping?
Oh, I thought we were doing worse for some reason, and I thought what?
Okay, right. That gas now makes sense. Next up is Peter. What is your best show? New show. What did you pick? You said,
sadly,
you promised us that none of us.
Oh yeah, there's no way. There's no way anyone's gonna pick this. But I will say, just an addendum to Yusen Shock and Malik. Like, I can't believe I have not finished Shogun. I'm halfway through. It's fantastic, and I'm actually surprised none of you have mentioned this because everyone tells me how amazing Shogun is, but none
Malik
of you
was the. Malik was the first
Malik's
one.
The only one who's gone.
He's the first one to go. That's why we haven't all mentioned it yet. Malik was first.
What do you mean? We've had all these other rounds.
This is new show.
This is new show. This is the first cast.
Oh,
season.
Right.
First
season. Oh, I get it.
Peter.
Yeah, good. No, okay. So
Earth to Peter.
The two shows, I have two shows. The show that I thought there's no way you guys are going to mention, technically that show's not finished. So that'll be my honorable mention. Actually, you know what? Neither of these shows are finished, but you know, okay. So my pick for my best new show is very much like me embracing, I guess, the, what do we call it? The comfort food, this kind of comfort food quality of like TV that has kind of come back. I think it started with Netflix saw that a lot of people were watching Suits and this notion of like, well, maybe not everybody wants these huge arc shows. So I put on High Potential, which is an ABC
I have
show.
Seen it.
What?
You said none of us have seen it. I have seen it.
Oh, you've seen it. I just don't know. Okay, I barely know if you guys have even heard of it.
I haven't.
And it stars Caitlin Olsen, and it's a remake of a British show, which the British show is called... Hip, which was High Intellectual Potential. So now this is just High Potential. But basically, it's an LA-based show with Caitlin Olsen, and it's just like, I don't know, The Mentalist or any of these shows we've seen where she basically can look at a crime scene and then they do all those fast cuts, like snap, you know, zoom ins, and she can basically like that's not the murderer. This person was chewing bubblegum, this was on his third pack, and then blah blah. Like, it's such a formula that we did a lot of in the 2000s, but for some reason I like put it on a whim on Hulu, was like, I'll watch this, and I've watched like every episode more than once. Like, it's just a very entertaining, formulaic type of show that I haven't seen in a long time. I mean, I guess in a weird way it's like, it's so kind of unpretentious, and it's just its own fun little thing that I just really enjoy.
To be fair, we've been watching Will Trent, which is a similar kind of show.
That could be. I did watch Will Trent. I gave that a shot, and I do probably want to watch more of that. And you're right; that would probably be in that same wheelhouse. So then my honorable mention, which I'm chomping at the bit because there's only five episodes. Because now we're on break or whatever, is I mean, anybody who knows me on the show, I am mostly a comedy person, and I love Tom will know better than me, but I think it's Michael Schur. So I think he did Superstore, Parks and Rec. I don't know if he did The Office. But all these shows, I mean, I guess Abbott Elementary, these shows where you're basically dealing with hopefully more like normal little working class people. And then there's usually like kind of a camera. So my other pick was St. Dennis Medical.
Dennis Middle.
Yeah, which is basically it's that version, except now it's a hospital. And it's
Scrubs Meet Superstore.
Like, what?
Scrubs Meet Superstore.
Right, Scrubs Meet Superstore. And I'm like, I've watched the 5 episodes like 3 times already. Like, it's just so fun to watch. Like, I just, and David Alan Greer's on it, who I haven't seen in a million years.
Where's it on? What's it on?
NBC.
It's NBC, but I watch it on Peacock.
Guys,
guys,
let's not get off topic. Let's stay on, please. All
right. Anyways. So High Potential is my new favorite new show, and then my runner-up is St. Dennis Medical.
All right, Tom.
Nobody said this yet, so I'll give my runner-up is a new favorite, which I just found with the Netflix Awards app, and that's Nobody Wants This.
Oh, so, right.
Highly recommend it.
I really liked that. I
stars
did
in
like
it?
That. That is really good. I did really like that. Yeah.
Kristen Bell and Adam Brody.
Oh, right.
But my favorite show, which I have watched through twice, and I think it's probably, well, it's competing for comedy because of the Emmys rules cracking down instead of limited series, but Agatha All Along. For the category of shows that nobody wanted, There's no real source material for this.
Wanted it.
I did not.
I did not.
I love it. It's good. It's really good.
But yeah. I love it. I've watched the whole thing twice already. I will probably watch it a third time.
Wow.
Before the end of before school resumes in January. But Katherine Hahn reprising her role as Agatha Harkness from WandaVision, and then Jack Schaefer, I think. Marvel needs to put her in charge of all the Disney Plus TV shows because she knows how to structure a show, how many episodes the show should be, how to sustain interest. And even though we kind of second guessed, episode one has the fake out because it's kind of like, oh, she's still trapped in Wanda's curse, so we're onto dramas now. And they do a complete send up of Mayor of Easttown called Agnes of Westview. But once Billy is able to break the curse, and I'm saying Billy instead of Teen, because that was the big non-secret, that Teen was actually Billy Maximoff, but we get an episode.
I didn't know that. So
I didn't know it either.
It was a surprise for me.
Those of us fanboys and fangirls highly suspected that he was, but watching it a second time, the 9 episodes are so well structured. And the fact that there are throwaway lines in episode 2 that when you get to episode 9, you find out you were right. But the cast was amazing. Patti LuPone, come on, Patti LuPone. Just great ensemble cast. They killed main characters, including
a lot of them.
Including one. Well, most of the coven ends up dead.
Yeah.
Which, when you find out the backstory of Agatha, was really her plan.
Right.
But it's fascinating because there are two straight up supervillain shows that premiered around the same time, Penguin and WandaVision, and they're not anti-heroes. These are straight up villains. But the choices that the characters make when you get to the end episodes, you know, Agatha is a villain, but she has some redeeming qualities. Whereas when you get to the end Penguin, Oz has no redeeming quality. He's just straight up evil. But it was just a satisfying ride. I expect The Ballad of the Witch's Road to be a shoe-in for Best Original Song Emmy next year from the Lopez's. But yeah, it just well-cast, well-directed, well-structured. Just, it was a great journey, and it was a character piece. And you have, you know, you have Agatha and then Billy as a strong second. And why this kid is getting ignored by award shows, I'm talking about you Golden Globes, which we know are a scam, but this is his second show ever. And he's great. And he's got scenes playing off seasoned vets, including Patti LuPone. And he's keeping in step with them. So yeah, it is my favorite Disney Plus series. It moved Hawkeye, bumped Hawkeye to number 2. And, WandaVision's number 3. So Jack Schaefer is single-handedly responsible for 2 of my favorite 3 Disney Plus shows.
Nice. Next up, Allison, what's on your list? Best new show.
Best new show. I can't believe that I'm actually getting to, I figured by the time it got to me that this would be mentioned already, but my best show best new show of the year is Shogun.
Yeah.
And
it did get mentioned, but it wasn't.
Did get mentioned.
One.
Got a quick mention, but I figured I'd be like fighting. I was actually going to like my second and my third choices, and saying, okay, what am I going to say instead? So instead, I get to talk about this, which is great because I thought it was just and there was some great TV this year. There was some excellent choices. But even so, Shogun was so brilliant. And I was not expecting that much when it started because I figured, oh my God, you know, I've read the book. I saw the other miniseries that was done, you know, way back in the 80s. What else do they have to say about this? Why are we redoing this show? And they, you know, it became very clear very soon why they were redoing this show. It was brilliantly done. And what I like best about it is that unlike the series that they did with Richard Chamberlain, which focused on Richard Chamberlain, because he's mm-hmm. the star, and you see everything, which is also like the book, through the eyes of his character, An Jin-sung. You instead see Shogun through the eyes of the Japanese characters.
Yep.
This is their show. It's their story, their history. He's just this inserted, you know, English character who you can sort of he's sort of like, you know, there as a member of the company. Maybe, you know, to give us an excuse for people to explain things to him and therefore explain things to us. So, right. You know, he's Basil Exposition. But the Japanese cast, especially Hiroyuki Sanada as Torinaga, was
amazing,
brilliant. I mean, he was just breathtaking when he comes on screen. You just don't look at anyone else. You know why everyone is following him, because he is that magnetic, that charismatic, and that much in control. And Anna Sawai, I totally expect to get an award for she is absolutely, I mean, it would be criminal if she doesn't get the Emmy. Her performance was so amazing.
It dominated the Emmys already.
It won a lot of awards.
She won.
Yeah,
she went. Okay, I wasn't watching the Emmys, so I didn't know. Okay, well, good. I'm glad she did. She deserved it. But it was just everything about it. The entire cast was so perfectly cast in every role. The way they got into the history, the way everything was shot, it was just magnificent. I think a lot of people have problems when there's a show is in another language and you have to read the subtitles. And with this, I mean, you forget that you're watching subtitles entirely. It's like, oh, right. Was that not in my language? I don't remember. because it's just that well done. And they had like special episodes in it, which brought out more of the history of the period. Like they devote one entire episode. I think it's called a piece of. Oh God. Okay, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's like a piece of incense or something like that, where they talk about the madam comes to Torinaga, and she essentially sets out to him what is going to become the geisha district and the whole geisha tradition.
Oh, right. I remember. Yeah.
And you know, you realize as you're watching it that that's what she's talking about. And that's where the history of it begins, is in this context. And I thought that was wonderful. Just all these little details. So it was just a phenomenal show from beginning to end. I understand they're going to be sort of sequelizing it. I don't know what they're going to do.
We're getting two more seasons.
Yeah, and fair, I don't know how they're going to do that. I'm sort of dubious about it, because this was based entirely on the book. Well, and so I don't know where they're going to go from here.
Well, the writing has been really good, so I'm going to.
It has. So, I mean, I'm certainly going to tune in. I mean, I'm definitely, absolutely interested to see where they go and what they do with this. But I just thought, just from beginning to end, this was one of the most perfect shows I have seen mounted on TV. Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely.
So, what's your runner up?
And my runner up is Fallout. Which I also thought was brilliant. I know nothing about the game that it's based on. The show itself, however, was
Livia's frantically trying to change her list.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about it, I guess, was it was the same as Arcane. Just, I didn't have to know the game, and it was
your
great.
Honorable mention.
I looked up. It won 18 Emmys, the most ever won by a series in a single season.
Yep,
deserved every one.
And the two leads won for their category. First non-English language series to win Best Drama, and they were the first two Japanese actors to win for lead actor or actress.
Nice. All right, Houston, you're up. What did you pick?
I'm going to go backwards because it's just easier. Allison, you made me swap my list. my honorable mention is now Shogun. So I will just say ditto, Allison. All the things she said. Although, did you mention costume design? I don't know. But
oh, the costuming was fantastic.
Amazing. Hey, oh, but yes. Okay.
That's it.
Shout out for costume.
So mine, I got special dispensation from our host. So
no, I didn't. For what are you talking about?
About my number one.
Okay, let's see what you say, and then I'll see if I said yes. Go ahead.
Even though because it's an anthology.
All right.
Because True Country, it's the first.
True Detective.
True Detective, Night Country.
There you go.
True Detective, Night Country. It's the first of the True Detectives that had a separate main subtitle. So all of the rest were, you know, just. But so even they recognize that it's, you know, so original and different for them.
It was fantastic.
It got a subtitle, so Night Country. I think it's Issa Lopez was the showrunner, writer, director. So kudos to her. I have to start with her. An amazing construction. It was only 6 episodes. There was no fat in the show. It kept me guessing. I was so invested in the twist, you know, who did it, you know, who did it. And I thought at some point that was going to be magical realism, you know, and that it was going to be an alien, a ghost, something. I was like, who did it? What is happening? I don't understand what I'm watching.
It was very strange. Yes.
Yeah. So that suspense I will say immodestly, I very much, very often guess twists or how something ends. So I was so baffled, you know, and wonderfully, lovingly, I thought, I have no idea what's going on. The atmosphere, the ambiance is the wrong word, but the darkness. I felt like, you know, I didn't have sunlight for like, you know, the 6 episodes. I'd be watching it during the daytime and I thought, it's nighttime, right? Like, you know, it was so engaging and enveloping. The leads were amazing. I never do this, but I'm gonna check my notes. Callie Reese, who plays the indigenous state trooper, she was fantastic. And to go
this
up
is
against,
like her first role too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah. To go she's up so against toe to toe with Jodie Foster.
And really toe to toe. Yeah.
Really toe to toe. They were tap dancing around each other. I mean, it was phenomenal. So, you know, the atmosphere it created, the story.
However, I will say Jodie Foster got an Emmy and the other girl didn't even get nominated.
I know, that's not that's crazy. A crime. That's, you want to talk about a crime that needs to be investigated. That is a crime. So yeah, no, I was very surprised she didn't even get nominated. You know, and as far as representation is concerned, you know, in the show, but also she should have been nominated. It was very disappointing and unexpected, I thought, you know. But anyway, the show had no fat. And sometimes we talk about, you know, this wild, wild west of shows being 6 episodes, 8 episodes, 9 episodes, 10 episodes, you know, and sometimes the show is too long. You know, sometimes we need more episodes. This was perfect. It was just tight and compelling, really, really interesting. So for me, you know, if it wasn't Shogun, it was this show. So I loved it. Thought it was great.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go and I will not really flip, because I was intending to have this show as my number one show. So even though I knew intellectually Shogun should be my number one show, but I'm going to say Shogun is my honorable mention. I'm giving you that ahead of time. But my number one show is actually Fallout, based on the fact that it affected me personally more. Because after I watched it, I then played a couple hundred hours of Fallout. So I had not played Fallout. Like, I have a big gamer. And I think Peter actually introduced me to Fallout. And I came over to his house and played it. And I was like, eh, this is boring. And I was like, I'm not interested in this. I think we played through the first hour, I think, of the game at your house. And then I was very much like, nah. And then after I watched the show, I completely, now that I had like an understanding of what we were doing, I then went back and played the game a lot. I played the game a lot. And so for me, that affected me more, because my world became Fallout. And I have watched the show probably twice. I know I've watched the pilot way, because I've been trying to get other people to watch it. So I've watched the pilot a lot. So yeah, I'm going to pick Fallout mainly because, and I think the highlight of the show is Walter Goggins, the ghoul. Like, he is by far the highlight, which is why I find it interesting, because I've now watched the pilot like 10 times, but he doesn't get introduced until like the last 5 minutes of the pilot, and he's your strongest gun. That seems a little weird.
Well, you do see him in the cold open.
True, but you don't know that's who you're seeing. That's true. That's true. You are correct. They do introduce him, and you're like, who the heck is this guy? And then you really get the ghoul, who is your character that you're with. But I like the contrast. You bookended. So you start with him in his super, like, not naive exactly, but sort of naive stage before everything goes to crap. And then you see, after 200 years, what the world has done to him, what kind of person he's become. And then as you watch the series, you see that your impression of him was not quite right. That he is literally just a man looking for his daughter. Like, that is what he is doing. That is his main mission. And then I love the bit where he's like, always getting pulled off on side missions. And I was cracking up. I was like, that's perfect. So all the other things he's doing is all side missions to him. And once you figure out, and they had some really good twists, some brilliant twists that I did not see coming. I knew that there was something suspicious about her dad. I was like, oh, he's lying. He's been to the outside world. But it didn't occur to me that he was like from before and had been frozen, and it was a whole thing. Like, all of that stuff was really, really great.
Yeah.
And I didn't suspect that he killed the mom. Like, all of those things were, I didn't see coming. And so I thought they did a really good job of also setting the tone. Because if you play the game, that kind of goofy tone is built into the game. And that music and the soundtrack also built into the game. So they, I'd say, along with The Last of Us, I would say this game or this show is one of the best adaptations, where they take the actual center feel of what this game is about and how you're supposed to feel about it, and they did a really good job of translating that to the screen. So that's why it's going to be my number one. And that is all. That is all. We have gone through all our lists, and if you guys are still listening, I'm happy. Surprise, you're still here. This is one of our longer podcasts. So I apologize for that. But this is going to be the last one we're doing 2024. Everybody's going to take off for the new, you know, until the new year. And then we'll be back in the new year to cover some more TV for you guys. So if you guys have any questions or comments, you're leaving the TV campfire at gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. You listen to us on sci-fi.radio, Tweetnopolis, iTunes, and YouTube. And we'll see you guys in the new year. Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!